Blog Talk Radio.
Got a live super live show for y'all, man. We got a Super Bowl preview today. We're gonna talk about NBA trades, Dallas Cowboys, Dallas Mavericks. We got a lot to discuss. Make sure you guys tune in to the show. You can follow us, you can join in, you can give us a call right now at 563-999-3011. That is 563-999-3011 to get involved. Maybe you guys can give us a call, join the show, talk about whatever you want to talk about. We're going to talk about, like I said, Super Bowl, NBA trades, Cowboys, whatever you want to start. We may have a couple of guests pop on today as well, too. So make sure you guys go ahead and get your questions ready and get ready to call in. And, of course, we're in the chat as well, too. So if you want to join the chat, go to the show, go to the page. You can join into the chat, see what's going on, and jump right into it. So let's start with the Super Bowl and talk about what we got for a preview for the Super Bowl today. We know the 49ers, the Chiefs will kick off this Sunday. And, we haven't done a show in a while, so there's so much to talk about, number one. I want to start with a couple of the storylines in the game. And what do you guys think is the biggest storyline for the game? That's our number one question today. What storyline are you following for the Super Bowl that's coming up? I mean, you got the Chiefs. You got them trying to be a dynasty. You got Brock Purdy. You got the 49ers. You got all kind of things to really get into with this whole Super Bowl coming up. So I'm gonna go ahead and bring on our first guest today, a familiar friend of the show. Mr. Royce. Royce, how you doing, man?
Good morning. Right now, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm getting ready for the Super Bowl. Start 2 days early.
Yeah, so the question that we're posing out here to the audience today, those that are listening, is, you know, what storylines are you going to be reading for the Monday? I want to break down what's really going on. I want to start, of course, with the teams themselves, the 49ers, the Chiefs. We know the 49ers are one of those franchises that have five Super Bowl overall, I believe. Is it five or four? And then the Chiefs, of course, with the dynasty they're building with Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid and what they're trying to do. So there's a storyline in there, too, because you've got one team that's looking to establish a dynasty by winning, three out of the last four. And you got another team, the 49ers, that has made it a few times, but just has not been able to get over the hump, even, you know, since they got rid of their Super Bowl dynasty that they had with Jerry Rice and all those guys. So which way are you looking at? What's important here? Is this a storyline to even be talking about the dynasty versus this 49ers team that's been dominant in the regular season but has not been able to win a Super Bowl? Hello, you there? Hello, hello. All right, looks like we may have lost Royce. To me, it's really about the dynasty part to me. I mean, the dynasty is a big storyline when it comes to the two teams. Now, you know, I just think it's a bigger story if the Chiefs were able to win and kind of establish this new dynasty, if you will, and Mahomes being only 27, having three Super Bowls, to me is a much bigger thing than the 49ers getting over the hump and winning the Super Bowl. Although they've been dominant, they just have not been able to get that Super Bowl win. But to me, establishing a new dynasty in the NFL is a bigger story. I think Royce is back on. Is Royce back on?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Like I was saying, the 49ers have been knocking on the door for the last couple of years, but not been able to break through the door. Whereas Kansas City has been there. They won some, they lost some.
Right.
But I got to give the nod to the most experienced team, which is Kansas City. And I don't bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy has been unproven in a championship game. He's 1-1. But the Super Bowl is a entirely different ball game. It's the biggest event of the year. It's the biggest sporting event of the year. And it's when the stars rise. But
yeah,
49ers have a whole lot of stars on their team. Who's going to step up on the 49ers team?
Well, it's got to start with the quarterback, right? I mean, he's got to have his great game. I mean, in order to slay the dragon of Pat Mahomes, you got to be on your A game. You got to get a lot of help from the people around you, which he's got good pieces around him. I just don't know if he's going to be able to make that play in the most crucial moment. Now, I will say I've been impressed with Purdy in the two playoff games because he had to come from behind. Even in that Detroit Lions game, they were down so big at halftime. He came back. He had to use his feet, kind of create plays. So he's done that. But this is the biggest of all stages, right? It's like, you know, are we looking at the next, you know, are we looking at the Cinderella story of Brock Purdy being the next great quarterback? Are we looking at dominance from who we know is a great quarterback at Pat Mahomes? To me, that's kind of makes it interesting to watch, to kind of see what team's going to win. Hello, you there? Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. The knock on Purdy is he's a game manager, and Mahomes is a game changer. Can Brock Purdy take over a game like Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady's done, come from behind, win, that extraordinary pass, the run to get the first down? We've seen him win games, but can he win a game with his own? And we have yet to see that. We've seen Patrick Mahomes do it, but I've never seen Purdy do it. So that's a knock on Purdy.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And I've seen Pat do it both ways. I've seen him have a run when he has a run. I've seen him throw to win a game. And I think, to me, as quiet as it's been, this has been probably, to me, his best playoff run. I mean, he hasn't had any picks in the playoff games he's played. He's been on the road for all the playoffs. To me, he's playing at a level that I don't think we've had a chance to really see him play at, because he's always been home. He's always been the favorite. He's been an underdog in every single playoff game that he's played this year, and he hasn't thrown any picks. So to me, he's playing on a level that I don't think we've seen him play on yet. So I really like – I'm interested to see how he finishes off this whole season, because he really turned it on in the playoffs.
I think it's going to come down to one or two plays, a drop ball, interception, turnovers. I think it's going to be that close, because both teams are loaded with talent.
Yeah, I would agree. I want to spend a little time on the storyline when it comes to these coaches, because I was doing some thinking this morning before the show, and it kind of dawned on me that, you know, no one's closer to Bill Belichick's 7 Super Bowls or even his wins as a coach as Andy Reid is. I mean, he's catching up to Bill on both levels. And then you got another head coach in Kyle Shanahan who, let's be honest, the only way we really know Kyle Shanahan because he was the offensive coordinator that gave up that 28-point lead when he was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, and they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and everybody thought Atlanta was going to win and the Patriots come back. So he's kind of known for that. And then also, too, he hasn't been able to really win a big game either, you know. So I look at it like this is a very much a legacy game for the coaches, too. I mean, Shanahan's been praised as this great offensive mind and had these great regular seasons but hasn't won the big one. And then when he's been in those big games, he hasn't really done a good job. And now Andy Reid has a chance to add to his legacy by catching up to, you know, getting closer to catching up to Bill Belichick in wins and also in Super Bowl wins. So, you know, to me, the coach or not, I think you would agree, goes to Andy Reid. But there's a lot on the line for Kyle Shanahan, too. Looks like we have some difficulty with the microphone here. Can you hear me? Hello, hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm not going to put the Atlanta game on Shanahan because it came down to one play where they could have won that game instead of running the ball to get the first down. They decided to throw the ball and turn it over to Brady. But as far as coaching goes, I think he's done a great job with the team. It does come down to personnel, too. Guys not making plays, guys in the wrong position. So I'm not going to hold it. He's a great coach. He's got there every year. And, you know, his dad had to struggle before he won one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I got to get a nod to Kansas City for his coaching going because Andy Reid has done a fantastic job with less. Even losing Tyreek Hill last year, they still won a championship. And I put that on coaching and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I agree with you 100%. I think I don't think you find anybody out there that would say that would give the coaching nod to anybody else but to Andy Reid. I just think it's an important game for Shanahan. It's an important game for that 49ers organization. I mean, they've gotten so close now. They kind of have to. They need to win this game. Bottom
yeah.
line, you know, they need to win this game. So it's going to be interesting to see, man. So are you ready to do your pick? Oh, one other question real quick I wanted to ask you real fast before we do our picks. Is there a player that you're going to be looking at, not a quarterback, but what player on either team do you think is going to be kind of the one that would – I'm trying to see what's the best way to say it. Which player on what team do you think is going to be the one that makes the biggest impact or difference? It's not a quarterback.
I'm going to say Deebo Samuel and Travis Kelce. I think those two will impact the game probably more than anybody because Kelce has been outstanding this year. And Deebo is a game changer.
Yeah.
You can put McCaffrey in there.
We lost you again. Can you hear me?
I don't know why we keep losing connection, but can you hear me now?
I can, yeah.
Okay. I said if it come down to it, I'm going to say Deebo Samuel and Travis Kelce. If it's a running game, I'm going to put on McCaffrey. But if I have to throw the ball, San Francisco have to throw the ball, and put in Purdy's hand, I'm going to put on Deebo Samuel and Kittle. But on the Kansas City side, I'm going to say Travis Kelce. If you can stop Travis Kelce, you can pretty much win the game. But if he gets going like he's been the last couple of weeks, I think San Francisco's in trouble.
Yeah. I'm going to say on Kansas City, it's going to be, and I'm going to kind of cheat a little bit, so don't yell at me, but I think it's going to be the Kansas City defense is going to be kind of the unsung hero of the game because, to your point, the 49ers have so many different weapons. They got to stop, you know, somebody at every level. So they got to stop Christian McCaffrey from running the ball. They got to stop Debo, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk from catching the ball. And they got to pressure Brock Purdy to make a mistake. So the defense is going to be critical for them. And then on the other side of the ball, I'm also going to say I think it's going to be big on McCaffrey. He's going to have to be that main guy. I mean, for a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, he's his second year, but rookie quarterback in the Super Bowl for the first time, your security blanket is your running back, right? If your running back can get you 5-6 yards a carry, 4 yards a carry, and you can catch those swing passes out of the backfield, that helps you kind of calm your nerves a little bit and kind of be able to play the game at a better level when you know you got a running back. So to me, Christian McCaffrey is the key for the 49ers. If he can have a good game, slow the game down, kind of keep things normal, that'd be great. Then the other side of the ball for Kansas City, it's going to come down to that defense. That defense is going to have to – I mean, they've done a good job. They stopped Lamar Jackson. Right?
Absolutely.
They stopped Buffalo and Josh Allen, and they did
right.
This on the road. So I think they just got to have one more great performance against the 49ers to really get this game. When I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game. You know, I really don't. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be a close game. It's going to come down, like you said, as one or two plays.
But the best thing about it is on a neutral ground. Nobody has the advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we lost you again. Although I will say, I know you said no one has the advantage, but keep in mind it is Las Vegas, right? I mean, anything could happen. We've seen the power go out at the Superdome during the Super Bowl, right? Remember when the 49ers were playing that game and the power went out? So strange things have happened to the 49ers in Super Bowls, and then now we're in Vegas. So I'm anticipating something going to happen in Vegas. What do you think about, before we make our pick, what do you think about Vegas having the Chiefs as underdogs in the Super Bowl? You think that's kind of alluding to something, or what do you think? I think we lost your connection again. Testing. 1, 2, you there?
Yeah, one thing about Vegas, if the lights go out, they can play out in the streets because it is lit up. I'm not worried about the lights going out.
Yeah.
I think Vegas is ready. I think they're prepared.
But why does Vegas have the 49ers favorite? What do they know that we don't know?
I think people are hedging a bit because think how much money you win if Kansas City won. And you know these bookies know how to they know how to hedge the bet, but I think that's what it is. Not so much a pick that you would pick, but you know I think Vegas is different. You know these guys know how to gamble. They know how to hedge the bet. They know how to make money. They know how to win money. But I think they did that for the winning is concerned. The business could there.
Yeah, it seemed like everyone would take that bet with the Chiefs being underdogs. I mean, they were underdogs in last year's Super Bowl. They were underdogs all this playoff, and people want some money betting the Chiefs. So let's go ahead and get into our picks real fast before we take our first little break of the day. I'm going to go ahead and take the Chiefs to win the game. Pat Mahomes gets another MVP. And his third Super Bowl win. I just think they've got experience on their side. They know what to expect. They know there's going to be an extra long halftime show. They kind of know all of that already going into it. I don't think they'll get rattled by that. And I think when it comes down to it, to your point, and Brock Purdy has to make a play in the air, I just don't know if he's going to be able to do it. So I'm taking the Chiefs to win the game. What about you? Yeah, hello, you there?
I'm not surprised. You've been a long-time Cowboy fan. You do not like San Francisco. But I'm going to take Kansas City also from the experience. I think this is Mahomes' year. I think he's on his way to becoming a dynasty. And I got to get a nod to Andy Reid for his coaching concerns. So I'm going with Kansas City.
All right, well, you take Kansas City. I think we both take Kansas City. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that we agree. But
yeah, we use the opposite. We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, we use it very, very opposite. And those of you guys in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you're more than welcome to join us at the Super Bowl watch party. It's going to be an on-the-record in Deep Ellum on Am Street. OTR is what they call it. It's called on-the-record. Hit us up. You guys can come watch the game with us. We'll be watching it there during our watch party live from OTR right there in Deep Ellum. Tune into the – look on the page. You'll find some details about the whole watch party. But if you guys in DFW, feel free to come out and hang out, have some cheap drinks, and watch the Super Bowl for sure. Now, another news, Royce, you know, we talk about NBA quite a bit. I was going to do a quick segment. Hopefully you can stay on to talk about the trade deadline yesterday and some of the moves that were made. It wasn't any blockbuster moves. I don't think many things changed. I think some teams did a good job of building up their bench and getting a little bit deeper. But no real big moves. It looks like the biggest moves in the trade deadline happened really early when you had like OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam and things like that happen. But nobody really, really, I think, just kind of shifted power from one team to another. And doing some research on this, looking at it, you know, this is a very much going to be kind of a more normal NBA thing. Apparently, I guess with the rules kick in next year, and I didn't realize this till the other day, but when the rules kick in next year with the salary cap and this so-called second apron and first apron and all that, that you can no longer combine salaries to trade for a player. So say a player makes $40 million a year, you can't take a player that makes $10 million and two players that make $5 million and trade for that person that makes, $40 million or $20 million a year. You can't do that. You have to trade player for player next year. So if a guy makes $40 million a year, you got to trade a player that makes $40 million a year for the trade to even happen. That changes a lot in the NBA. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like you can't. It's not going to be this whole three-team trade and combining salaries and that type of thing. So we're getting into a brand new era of the NBA where, you know, you got to build through the draft and you got to stay put with the team that you got. So it's going to be interesting to see how this develops. But just your thoughts on the trade deadline this year and just if anybody really got any better, you think, or anything going to change in the East or West?
I think that's why we didn't see a lot of stupid
We lost you again.
A lot of teams stayed packed, and I can understand why. They're going to let some of these contracts expire. It was talk about a buyout on Dinwiddie and possibly come to Dallas. But I think the biggest winners yesterday was New York and Dallas. And I got to give Phoenix the nod, too. They did a pretty good job. But I'm surprised the Lakers didn't do anything. And a lot
Are
of
you
other
surprised?
Teams.
Are you surprised the Lakers didn't do nothing?
Kind of, because LeBron was moaning and groaning. He does this every year. He usually get his way. And at this point, he usually tried to pack his team to make a run for the playoffs. But he's kind of disappointed, this team. I know they have a lot of injuries. Mm-hmm. Golden State stayed packed. But, you know, like I said, the changes next year is going to change everything. I think a lot of guys are going to let their contract expire, go in the draft, try to draft somebody, and maybe in the offseason try to pick up a superstar. But it was rather quiet.
Yeah, we lost it again.
I don't know why I keep losing connection.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should try phoning in. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm going to hang up and try to phone in again, okay?
Okay, that'll work. Yeah, I understand the point you're trying to make about, or Russ is trying to make about the Knicks as well as the Mavericks and getting better. Also, the fact about, you know, the Lakers in the trade. Now, I'm just going to say this. I think if LeBron really wanted to get something done and really wanted to move, to kind of get on a contending or a better team, he should have asked for a trade himself. I don't think the Lakers were prepared to do anything that – I don't think they could get anything back that would significantly improve the team. The other thing is, if I'm the Lakers ownership, you know, we don't really trade superstars unless they ask to be traded. Shaq asked to be traded, right? Kobe initially asked to be traded. I know they never did trade Kobe. But you got to – the way L.A. or Lakers organization approaches superstars, you got to request a trade. We're not just going to trade our superstars because, number one, they're campaigning for other superstars to come to them. So I didn't anticipate them to kind of make a trade unless they could find some great deal, which there really wasn't one out there. And let's be honest, too, this team did – win the in-season
tournament. It wasn't like they were a bad team.
Hello, you there?
Can you hear me?
I think
you got to turn the other device off. Got a reverb.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Got you now.
Well, you know, between that Kyrie Irving and James Harden won out of things and Kevin Durant, it made a lot of teams leery, you know, forcing their way out and demanding trade. You know, I didn't hear a lot of that. That somebody heard Charlotte player, I can't think of his name, he turned down the trade. You know, I think a lot of teams are leery about these superstars. And that James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant kind of messed things up a little bit.
I think the ownership got tired of that.
Hold on, we got a little reverb. Hold on one second.
Okay, maybe it's coming from my end.
Are you on speakerphone?
No.
Yeah, but
Something else on, perhaps?
No.
Now,
connection, yeah.
Are you on speaker or no?
No.
Okay.
I got a bad connection somewhere.
Okay.
So let me hang up and try to dial in again, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right about that, as far as no big trades. And I think, too, I think, like we discussed, that's how guys are going to build. I do want to discuss a little bit about, before we get into the Lakers too much, I want to talk about the Mavericks a little bit and what they did. That's a team we follow very closely, or I follow very closely. And I think the trades they made were good trades. Grant Williams wasn't doing anything in Dallas. I mean, absolutely nothing in Dallas. They thought he would bring something in, and I think that trade, getting off of 3 years of Grant Williams, was a great thing to do. Bringing in P.J. Washington, a young player that could help, athletic player is going to be good, and then getting a center, which I've been saying all season that they need size. They don't have enough size to compete with the likes of the Denver teams and the Lakers and the Pelicans. And he seems to have just more size than the Mavericks have. So I like the deal that they made. I think it's going to help them out quite a bit. But we all know this team runs around Luka and Kyrie. Those two have to be on the floor together. They got to be healthy for us to have any kind of shot. But I like the move because it does get rid of Grant Williams, who I thought it would be a great addition when he first signed, but as the season went on, it came apparent that, A, he wasn't fitting in, and then, B, he wasn't a good locker room guy. You know, he just really wasn't, you know, people may not know that, but he doesn't have a great reputation as a good locker room guy, whether he's with the Celtics or even with the Mavericks. So getting rid of him was worth doing that trade either way.
Well, what I like about PJ, he can score at the power forward. He can be a small forward. He can be a shooting guard. He can play different positions. And he can take some of that time off of Maxi Kleber. I like that a lot because I'm not too pleased with Maxi Kleber.
No, although he played great last night, though.
Right. And Gafford's pretty good threat, too. He can block shots. He's pretty good. He can protect the paint. They needed a backup center for Lively. Lively's a rookie, but he's coming on. But an experienced guy playing center can help them out a lot. They did get a lot of size. They also got rid of Steph Curry, which he didn't play much. I don't know.
He didn't play. Yeah.
He didn't play hardly any. And I expected him to come in and knock down threes. But Hardaway has been played a lot better. He's helped the team a lot. So they really didn't need that. And when he did play, he wasn't much, didn't have much impact. But I like the move the Mavericks made. They had to do something. The way they were constructed right now, I didn't see him going very far. I see him going at least going into the playoffs. Now, once you get in the playoffs, anything could happen. But the West is real strong, man. The Clippers have come on, and the Memphis, Minnesota. I mean, not Memphis, Minnesota. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the playoffs. The Lakers got into the play-in tournament. Nobody expected them to win. So,
yeah,
but I like what Dallas did. Yeah, I like what Dallas has done. They improved themselves. And I say they between them and New York, they had the best trade deadline move.
Yeah, I would agree to that. I think I like what they did. I think they got better, added some better depth, some younger players, some more size. You know, it leads me to the question, though, what should be the expectations for the Mavericks? What should we expect for that team? Should it be a Western Conference final? Should it be a trip to the finals? Should it be a championship? Should it be maybe just make it to the sixth seed and not in the playoff tournament or the play-in tournament? What do you think should be our expectations realistically for the team this year?
Western Conference Finals will be a reach, but I'm going to say it all depends on Jason Kidd. If he can manage this group, I've questioned some of his moves this year. It may be because of personnel, but it's how this group fits together and how he manages this group, playing time, getting guys minutes, substitutions, you know, I've asked some questions about him, so as far as Kidd can take him, that's where I look at it.
Yeah, but where is that? Where would they have to make it, and you would be impressed by what they did? Where would they lose at where you would be like, this is a lost season?
If they don't make the tournament, at least the play-in, which I expect them to at least be in the playoffs. I say the second round with this new team and the new dynamics, you know, we don't know how they're going to fit. They make it past the second round, I think that's a success. If they make it to the 10th Western Conference Finals, that's beating the expectations. So,
I'm going to challenge you on that and say that they've got to make it to the Western Conference Finals or this is a failed season. And I say that because...
You think so?
Yeah, because let's be honest. Luka's a top five player in the league right now.
Right.
Top five. I mean, the guy put up 73 points in the game.
I'd say top
he's going,
three.
He's averaging what? Yeah, he's up there, right? I mean, and plus,
right.
You may not have a top five team. Don't get me wrong. You don't have necessarily a top five team. But Luka, over the years, has proven to me that he's more than just a scorer. He can literally make guys better. If you can shoot the ball and hit a corner three, or cut to the basket, he's going to find you. I mean, I watched that game
right.
last night against the Knicks. And
he's fantastic.
He made everybody
fantastic.
Better. He made everybody better if they could just do it. So, to me, they got to make it to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think there's any – I don't think we can accept anything less from the team when you got a guy playing at that level. Now, that means that they're going to have to go through some teams. But I don't doubt they can beat in a seven game series. I think they can beat Oklahoma City in seven game series. I think they should be able to beat Minnesota in a seven game series. They should be able to beat the Lakers. They should be able to beat the Phoenix Suns in the seven game series. In my opinion, they've done it before. So I don't. They've got to make it to the Western Conference Finals, man. They have to.
Well, I can understand your point, and I see your point. Everybody wants to see the Mavericks, especially me and you, make it to the Western Conference Championship. But the West is real loaded. Like I said, they just infused some new players, see how they fit, you know. And I think it's going to be down to coaching. I think that has a lot to do with how the Mavericks do, you know, for the coaching.
Well, I don't think kids should keep his job if they don't make it to the Western Conference Finals. Period.
Well,
I don't think he should keep his job. He's got a top five player in the league. He's got a point guard in Kyrie Irving. I mean, this is not like a team has to play great defense to win a title. No one plays defense.
Right. Now, nobody plays defense.
Nobody plays defense. So you don't have to worry about playing defense. All you got to do is worry about scoring. And you got guys that can score. You got two guys that could outscore anybody. So my expectation is if you don't make the Western Conference Finals, then you don't deserve to be coach of this team, in my opinion, because the reality is if we don't start having those expectations and they delivering, then Luka's not going to be here anyway. So they better figure it out quick.
Well, you know, and it also depends on your supporting cast. I've never seen a team win a championship without a supporting cast. You can have a star player, but you got to have guys step up. You got to have guys knock down shots. When Luka passes the ball, when they open, you know, you can't have guys missing. You got to at least control the board, second chance points. You know, a lot depends on the supporting cast. Now, we know Luka and Kyrie can score, but what are the other guys going to do?
Well, they got to stay. I mean, they have to just be able to hit shots.
Right.
To me, it's real simple to build that team if you just surround him with shooters. Like, you just surround him and Kyrie with shooters or guys that can slash to the basket or guys that can rebound. Then you should be able to win. You should be able to get to the Western Conference Finals, in my opinion.
That's a big step, but I'm a believer. But I have to see it for myself. It's going to be tight. It's going to be rough. That Western Conference, well, if we don't make it to the finals this year, really deserves it because you got to go through a lot of good teams to get that far. Everybody's loaded.
Yeah, I would agree to that, but again, I think injuries and things are going to happen. Stuff's going to happen, right? So we'll see. But my expectation is they got to make it to a Western Conference Final. This is my expectation.
We saw a Ranger team do it. And it could be done.
Absolutely. Speaking on Dallas matters real quick, I don't know, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I don't know if you noticed, but the Cowboys did hire a defensive coordinator. Mike Zimmer's coming back for a second time. And You know, I was going to – I got this nice little rant I want to get on about the Cowboys and the Cowboy fans. I'm not going to bore you with that, Royce, but I will just ask you, what do you – just your thoughts about the hire. I have some very strong feelings about it, but I'll save that for the end of the show. Just your thoughts first, if you don't mind.
Well, Vim has been there before. He did a pretty good job, you know. The defense let us down this year, for sure, especially the last couple of games. They didn't play up to par. I know they had some injuries, but they could get better, and he may make them better. It'd be a different defense, and I might have to wait and see attitude. There wasn't many people out there. I think they should have went and got somebody younger. I've seen teams like Houston, Green Bay, Detroit, you know, get better. And with younger, you know, coaches and guys that can relate to players. So I'm going to wait to see what he does. You know, Cowboys need a whole new revamp as far as defense is concerned, but, and offense. And I feel like if Mike McCartney can't get in there this year, he's gone too.
Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't have a deal next year, so it's kind of riding on the wall, you know. He's kind of a lame,
right.
I call him a lame duck coach. So,
right.
You know, no defensive coordinator wants to go work for a lame duck coach, right? I mean, it's just hard to do. But I got some strong feelings.
His play calling this year, they were a better team.
Yeah. I don't think Mike Zimmer is a better defense coordinator than Dan Quinn.
You don't?
No.
What happened to your defense this year?
No. You know what? Like I said, I was gonna say it at the end of the show, because I know you don't want to hear it. But let me just start out by saying yesterday, it finally hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday. As you know, I've been a Cowboy fan. Every year, at the beginning of the season when we do our show, I pick the Cowboys to win. Right? I've been through the thick and thin with them. You know, and just so you guys that are listening, I'm not as young as you may think I am. Right? I'm in my mid 40s, so I was there in the 90s. I saw the 90s win. I've been there through the drought, the 30 years of no winning. I've been through all of that, and I finally have had enough.
Oh, finally.
I finally had enough, man. So mark this down, record this, whatever you need to do, but I finally have had enough. It has come to my attention. All the things you have been telling me for years, it finally hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday when I watched the Marcus Lawrence give an interview on First Take. And when they asked him about what happened in the game with Green Bay, what do you think it was? Right. And he says on national TV in front of everybody, "Oh, we just got tired. Our legs got tired."
I heard that. That's
no
excuse.
Lawrence, let me tell you something. Everybody's tired in the playoffs.
Right.
When you played an 18-game schedule, yes, you get everybody's tired. You think Green Bay wasn't tired?
Yeah, everybody's tired. You're right.
You're going to make – so you're telling me that it wasn't coaching. You're telling me that it wasn't the game plan. You're simply telling me that y'all just didn't want to play.
Right.
Y'all just didn't – this is a guy that's probably been
– 10 years.
I think DeMarcus Lawrence has been on the defense side of the ball the longest out of any of those guys. You're telling me a guy that's supposed to be a vocal leader, a veteran – it's talking about we got tired. I mean,
I saw that interview. I was surprised he said that.
And then on top of all that, you announced you're hiring Mike Zimmer. You're going backwards and pulling in Mike Zimmer. You can't find the next, like you said, you can't find the next young defensive coordinator coming up. You can't grab a guy out of college, a guy that had a good defense this year in the league. You can't grab none of those guys. You can't interview those guys. You went and interviewed Rex Ryan.
He's older than I am.
A man that's been out of football for how long? And you interviewing him? Yeah. You got the next defensive coordinator on your staff. Al Harris should be the defensive coordinator. In 2 years that Al Harris has been here as a secondary backs coach, he's had Stephon Diggs, right, leading the league in interceptions 1 year. He gets hurt,
right.
No big deal. We'll find a guy in Deron Bland set the record for pick sixes. Now you telling me he don't deserve
year.
To be the defensive coordinator? He's coached both of those guys up, and he don't deserve to be the defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Bringing McCarthy back, and McCarthy's done nothing to keep his job. He's done nothing to prove that he should be able to get this team over the hump. He's done nothing. 12 wins in the regular season, losing the playoffs. 12 wins in the regular season, losing the playoffs. He's done nothing. I'm just fed up with it. I'm tired of it. This team does not want to win. Not only do they not have the right coaches, they don't have the right players. They don't have the right players to want to win. They have no leadership in the locker room. Dak is not a leader. Guys don't even like Dak. His own teammates don't even fool with him.
Isn't it familiar? Everything that the last couple of years with the Cowboys.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's just come to a point where they can no longer hide it. You cannot bring Mike Zimmer back. And this same team back, expect the fans to be excited. And they're going to sign a running back in free agency. Don't worry. They'll sign a Derrick Henry. They'll sign somebody. But it's not going to help.
Right.
It's not going to help. The culture of this team is rotten. And the core of the team is rotten. You've got no leadership in the locker room. You got guys that get tired, guys that don't want to play, guys that want to take the extra step, guys that don't keep themselves in great shape, guys that just, you got coaches that are giving them the right game plan, but they just don't want to do it. We got tired. You got tired before a playoff game at home?
Well,
I'm
laughing.
I'm done.
I told you years ago, pick another team.
I'm done,
so,
man. I'm done.
Maybe it's finally stuck in. Pick another team to go with, Rodney.
I'm done, man. I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't do it no more, man.
I just feel like you do. Yeah.
When I saw that on TV yesterday, I just turned the TV off and walked away. I said, no. I know I didn't hear that. I know I didn't hear
how
that.
You said it. Yeah. That was the lamest excuse I've ever heard.
They didn't even play the whole game the last game of the season.
Right.
They didn't play the whole game. You was at home. You went on the road.
All right.
I ain't trying to hear it. Well, I'm done.
It's about time, Rodney. Like I said, pick you another team.
It's embarrassing,
man. I don't think Jared said, I know he'd like to win a Super Bowl, but you have to make preparation to win a Super Bowl. I think his focus has changed. Just like we saw Mark Cuban sell the Mavericks, his focus is on real estate and something else. I think Jared's focus is lost for the team. Steven's going to eventually take it over. He's getting older. He's senile. We know that. He's stubborn. And nothing's going to change until ownership changes. That's my opinion.
I'm tired of it, man. I'm done. What's his name? I can't think of his name now. What's the running back's name? Crap, man. I'm drawing a blank for some reason. What's our running back name? Crap, man. That's how bad he was. I can't remember his name. He was on Rich Eisen's show. He said he didn't even know. He didn't know Dan Quinn had left.
He did.
They told him on the show he didn't even know that Dan Quinn had even left. He didn't know. I'm just embarrassed.
Well, in the words of my friend,
I'm done with it, man.
Stephen A.
I'm done with it, man.
It's an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. I just can't do it. I can't do it no more. I'm fed up, man. So,
okay, this show's recorded, you know.
I never thought I'd say words as a person living in DFW. I'm ready for the baseball season to start, but I'm ready for the baseball season to start. I can't deal with it, man. I just can't do it. I can't do it.
I got you.
But anyway, man.
It's recorded, so.
It's recorded. It's on file now. But I appreciate you joining the show, man, for the Super Bowl preview. And we'll get back to you guys next week. Anything you want to say? Any last words?
Go Mavericks.
Okay, go Mavericks. All right, we'll see y'all next week, man. Tune in, RS Sports Radio. We'll be back.